Well, good morning, Real Life Chapel.
Good morning.
And I want to say good morning to those who are watching us via Facebook. I want to recognize those folks because for the last several weeks, I've been one of those folks. And that's an important piece of ministry that we have going on. And I know it's meant a great deal to me. For some of you, I know we got some folks that are here for the first time. Welcome. And if you're here for the first time in a while, welcome back. It's been 17 weeks since I last spoke here. And the topic from the Believe series that day was the first of 10 key spiritual practices, and it was worship. You know, so that was a good way to kind of go out talking about worship. So during my absence, RLC, you guys have kind of, you've continued to move through the series. This is a 30-week series, right? And it's a 30-week series that's dealt with 10 key spiritual beliefs, right? To help us to think like Jesus. It's containing 10 key spiritual practices that help us act like Jesus, and also contains 10 key spiritual virtues which help us become like Jesus, which is the whole point of this. And you guys have moved from that day when I was here last. You moved through the 10 key spiritual practices, and you moved into the spiritual virtues. And this morning, especially just want to remind you, for those of you that maybe you took off from church because the pastor wasn't here, this morning we're going to examine faithfulness. Just want you to know that, okay? So, to be honest, when I hear this, you know, different things come to different people's minds, right? And there's things that come to my mind. And I don't know about you, I have a soundtrack in my life. I don't know if you have a soundtrack. Like, I've always got music playing in my head, right? And mine is an 80s classic rock soundtrack. That's just what's kind of, no matter where I'm at, there's a song that's playing in the back that just kind of is going on, right? And, you know, as soon as I started looking at it, looking at this topic, faithfulness, you know, doo, 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 doo. That's what was happening inside my head, right, in the back. And I'm sitting thinking, and that's kind of going in the background. And that's where I kind of threw it out there. But, you know, other things that are familiar to you, you know, we all have those things that just kind of pop in our minds, whether it seems totally random or bizarre to someone else or not, but it clicks for you. And for me, to be honest with you, when I immediately thought about this topic, this theme, this virtue, faithfulness, the Marine Corps motto is what came to my mind. So I had playing in the back, you know, faithfully by Journey, but I was hearing the Marine Corps motto, you know, which is Semper Fidelis, which means always faithful. And I know that there's at least five or six fellow Marines in this room with whom that resonates. Exactly. So, you know, it's just different things that come to different people, and it kind of sets a stage. The other thing, though, however, song, motto, I got to tell you, for the past 12 weeks, God has given me a flesh and blood example of faithfulness in the wife of my wife of 30 years, Laura Lee. And, you know, she's been my primary caregiver during this time. You know, for some of you that don't know, or you may know, so on June 7th, I had quadruple bypass surgery. June 13th, you know, we arrived home. 4 days later, on June 17th, we celebrated our 30th anniversary by my sitting on a chair and my wife bathing me. It was not a celebration by any means, okay? Just so you know, you know. But for me, and I know probably if you were to ask her, There are different times during the past 12 weeks where maybe her faithfulness has been stretched to the edge that maybe she would say is different than mine, what I recall. And for me, the pinnacle, I don't know, maybe pinnacle, beginning, sealing the deal. I don't know how I would want to say it. But the pinnacle of her faithfulness, her demonstration of faithfulness, for me, happened in Virginia in the hospital. There's two ordinary tasks you have to complete before you can be discharged from the hospital. So, things were moving one particular day. Trying to say this. So I was moving and took my position, my seat. When the full gravity of the situation dawned on me, that I still had an IV port in this arm, and so I had to, you're taking stuff with you everywhere you go when you're hooked up to all kinds of stuff. So, I got this thing, but they had taken an artery out of my arm, and so this is all wrapped up. And I'm left-handed anyway, and somebody, I don't know who the architect or what's going on with that, had placed what I needed way back here. And after having bypass surgery, you're in what they call as a tunnel. You're not supposed to move your arms outside of a certain thing, right? Call you in a tube. And when it dawned on me, I was like, ah, crap. Literally, right? And I went, Laura Lee. And, because she was in the room. And she came to the door. And I said, I have never asked you in all these years, but I need some help. And you know what she did. Nurse! No, she didn't do that. That would be an uncommitted wife and one who doesn't know their marriage vows very well. But that wasn't my wife. My wife took care of things. And for me, it might be some other joyous occasion for somebody. For me, that solidified faithfulness. And I thought, oh man, you have earned your 30-year badge here, I can tell you that. And so I'm willing to reciprocate, so should the need arise. But faithfulness. What does that look like to you, right? We all have different relationships, and we're called upon, or we may be called upon, to demonstrate faithfulness that is above and beyond the normal call of duty. Faithfulness means this. Here's a definition. Yeah, I didn't say that. Faithfulness means to strengthen, to support, to hold up, constant, trustworthy, dependable, reliable, loyal. That's faithfulness. And I tell you, I hope, I say that and I share that episode. Believe me, there are so many stories I'm going to share with you over the next several weeks, but we're not going so much there today. Just that as an episode. I hope that everyone in here, I hope you don't experience what I experienced over the last 12 weeks, I'm not suggesting that, but I hope somewhere in your life that everyone in here experiences faithfulness. Whether you're on the receiving end of that or the giving end in your relationships. It's huge. You know, Scripture is filled with different examples of that, of relationships that include amazing faithfulness. And there's a lot in Scripture, but there's one I want to share. This isn't in your programs. In fact, you know what? I got to get out these or I'm going to be jammed up. And I want to point you to an example. There's an example in the Old Testament. Many examples, but one, the book of Ruth. And, you know, just to kind of give you a quick little back story. There's this man and woman who are from Israel and live in Bethlehem, but there's a famine going on, so they take their two boys and they head over across into Moab, into the area what is now today Jordan, to try to have a place for their family. And of course, they live there for years. The boys grow up, the boys get married, but then tragedy strikes the family. The father is the patriarch of the family, but then both sons die as well. And so these three, they get married over there, the two boys. And so now there are three ladies who are widowed. And it's a tough situation for them in that culture. So famine begins to strike the land where they're at now, but they hear things are really good back in Bethlehem. So the mother, the matriarch, decides to come back to her homeland. And she tells the two daughter-in-laws that they should probably go back to their families. They're now widowed. Probably be better for you to go back to your family. And one of them takes her up on it and goes. But one stays. One would not leave. And so I just want to read this verse because I think this is an amazing example of faithfulness. So this daughter-in-law, so here it is. It's Ruth chapter 1, verses 16 through 18. I just want to read this. So Ruth replies. So Ruth is the daughter-in-law. Her mother-in-law is Naomi. And when Naomi tells her, you need to go back to your family. You need to go back to your people. Ruth replied, don't ask me to leave you and turn back. Now hear this. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. May the Lord punish me severely if I allow anything but death to separate us. When Naomi saw that Ruth was determined to go with her, she said nothing more. Man, to me, I mean, you're going to go wherever I go. You're going to live where I'm going to live. You're going to die where I'm going to die. My people, my God is going to be here. I mean, this is serious commitment. This is amazing faithfulness demonstrated, right? It's also miraculous, right? Because this is a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law. All right, don't look around. I'm just telling you, you better look straight ahead right now. This is an important part for you to look straight ahead, not look around. Just saying, it's a relationship that, I mean, historically, culturally, historically, there can be tension in that. And to have this level of commitment is an amazing example of faithfulness. I mean, when I see that, like I said, I mean, man, you know, mother-in-law, daughter-in-law, hey, I know God's all over that, right? This is a miracle happening. But you know, faithfulness, the reason that we can see this demonstrated not only in our relationships today, but in these relationships in Scripture, because faithfulness is an attribute of God. It's part of His character. It's who He is. That's where we get that from. It's from Him. There's a New Testament passage that talks about this attribute. 2 Timothy. This isn't in your program. It's in your Bible, if you got one of them, right? But it says this, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 through 13. I love this little statement here. It says, this is a trustworthy saying. So speaking about God, in particular Christ, right? Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, okay? It says, if we die with Him, we will also live with Him. If we endure hardship, we will reign with Him. If we deny Him, He will deny us. If we are unfaithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny who he is. It's his character. Right? I mean, you and I, you know, we talk about this in church today. We talk about how baptism is symbolic of this, right? You know, we go down and we die with him, then we are risen and we live with him, right? But this is more than just symbolic. It's if we die in relationship with Jesus Christ, we experience eternal life with him. If we endure hardship here and tough times, we will reign with him. This is what the Bible tells us. But it's also very clear, and Jesus said this in Matthew 10, 32 and 33, right? If we deny him, he will deny us. But if we are unfaithful, if you and I have our doubts and we have our disbeliefs, if you are unfaithful and we abandon our faith, he remains faithful. Right? He's still committed to his promise. He's still committed to his mission because he can't deny who he is. That's his character. There's a lot of, there's a number of prominent Christians today in our culture that have been abandoning the faith or denying the faith here recently. People of influence. I want to tell you that their denial, their abandonment of the faith doesn't change who God is. And that's the point of that passage. Even if you and I walk away or declare that he is not God or I'm not going to do this, it doesn't change who he is. He doesn't change. He remains who he is, irregardless of what you or I do. In the Gospel of Matthew, and this is the passage you've got in your program. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus is teaching. And he starts out teaching in the temple, and he's teaching the crowds. And he's teaching all the people. But then he moves out of the temple, and Jesus is walking across the Kidron Valley, walks up into the Mount of Olives. And then the top of the Mount of Olives, now the crowds have dispersed, right? There's no religious leaders, there's no scribes and Pharisees or Sadducees, any of that stuff. There's no just the people. This is his disciples. And on the top of the Mount of Olives, in a private session, just he and his disciples, Jesus begins to teach them about the kingdom of heaven. And he does it in rabbinic style. And he uses stories, question, right? And stories, the things we know as parables. And one of these parables is very much focused on this idea, this concept of faithfulness. And so I want to share this with you this morning. Matthew chapter 25, 14 through 30. You can follow along in your program. There's only going to be a few of the key verses up on the screen, but I want you to hear this parable that Jesus, and remember, he's not talking to the world. He's not talking to non-believers. He's not teaching the crowd. This is a private session. He is speaking to his followers, the believers, his disciples, and he's illuminating what the kingdom of heaven is like. And so he says this. Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. He then left on his trip. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money, and he earned 5 more. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. After a long time, their master returned from his trip And he called them to give an account of how they used his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, "Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 5 more. The master was full of praise. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." The servant who had received the 2 bags of silver came forward and said, "Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 2 more. The master said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." Then the servant with the 1 bag of silver came, and he said, "Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here is your money back." But the master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit the money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it." Then he ordered, "Take the money from this servant and give it to the one with the 10 bags of silver." A very important principle here, verse 29. "To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away." And then Jesus finishes with this. "Now throw this useless servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Wow. Jesus left his baby blue sash at home that day. Right? Hair wasn't blowing in the wind. No Fabio look for Jesus that day. Being kind of harsh at the end of this deal. Well, he must have been talking about other people. No, this was a private session with his disciples, speaking to them about the kingdom of heaven. There's a lot there. The servants are given responsibility in the master's absence, right? The responsibility is given proportional to their abilities or capacity. So let's think about that, because I know people read this. We have a tendency to go, "Well, that's why the guy got ticked, right? He was only given 1 bag of silver," right? That wasn't the deal. This is a master who knew his servants. He knew what their capacity was. If he had given the servant, the 1 bag servant, if he had given him 5 bags, he would have been overwhelmed by that. And just the same, if he had given the 5 bag servant 1 bag, he'd have been like, "Really? Come on, man, what's up?" He'd have been bored like in 10 days, waiting for more to do. The master knew his servants. He knew their capacity, their ability, and so the gifts were given proportional to what they could handle. When the master returns, the servants must give an account of how they use the master's resources. Give an account of how they used the master's resources. Westerners, that's us. In the English, this is kind of rendered a little more self-centered. I mean, go figure. That's a shocker. And anything that we interpret or we translate, that the money, I have earned. Right, so that's how it ends up in our English translations. "You gave me 5, and so I earned 5 more. But if you were to look in the original language, total different emphasis, different thought process. It's not "I have earned," but "it," the resource, "has earned more." Not that I did it. I may have invested it, but the resource earned more. Not so much a self-centered emphasis, but an emphasis on what the master's resources can do. Now, here's the crazy thing. Did you see what happens to the faithful servants? You know, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You now get a parade, a trophy, a gold watch, a nice vacation. Faithfulness is rewarded with what? More responsibility. Did you catch that? Isn't that awesome? You did a great job. Let me give you some more. But that's how it is. Faithfulness is rewarded with more responsibility. But then there was the final servant. You know, it's funny that neither one of the other servants mentioned anything. I mean, they just started talking about the investment, right? Neither of the other servants said anything about a harsh master. Neither one of the other servants said something about, you know, mentioned anything about harvesting or cultivating crops. You didn't. This final servant seemed to have an attitude toward his master. Right? It's interesting that we can sometimes, when we haven't done what we know is right, immediately go to the you game to justify our own irresponsibility. Right? I mean, that's been happening since the beginning of time. Right? Remember Genesis? Right? Adam and Eve? Right? I mean, Eve eats the forbidden fruit. God comes in the garden. Where are you guys at? What's going on? When he finally has the talk with Adam, what does Adam say? That woman you gave me. Right? Adam knew he had screwed up, but he was trying to self-justify by blaming someone else. That's what's going on here. You have a servant that has the wrong picture, the wrong attitude toward his master. And it's really not the master at all, but it's his attempt to justify his own unfaithfulness and irresponsibility. There's the other thing I hope that you catch in here. Because he didn't lose the money, right? The final servant. He buried it in the ground, but he was able to give you, here's your money back. I didn't lose your money. This should be sobering for us because here's what it tells us. Simply maintaining is not faithfulness. Simply maintaining is not faithfulness. And then the wicked and lazy servant is severely punished. I mean, man, Jesus was having a bad day or what? I mean, because these words that are used, these descriptives, this outer darkness and gnashing of teeth, the only other place in Scripture that is described by those is hell. He didn't come out and say it, but he said it. They got it loud and clear. Ooh, outer darkness, gnashing of teeth. Not good. Not good. So the person who does nothing, the person who just simply maintains what they've been given, not a good outcome, apparently. Right? That'll mess with some of your theological things. Through our Western eyes, it's easy to get lost and get focused on the wrong concern, even in this story. The emphasis in this parable is not about profitability. I don't know how many of you have ever heard this story before, if you read it before, and you always think, okay, we gave him five and he did five, he got two, he gave two. You know, and we get lost, we start thinking, oh, it was about how much they made or whatever. It has nothing to do with that. This story is not about profitability, it's about productivity. What did you do? How did you use the resources they gave you? Never mention what was your profit. Profit didn't matter. How did you use my resources? See, the emphasis is not success. It's faithfulness. Man, that's a challenge for us because we have a tendency to roll looking at success. Right? How successful something is or not? That's not the question God had here, because that's who it is. God's the master in this story. Right? It's not how successful are you, how faithful have you been with what I've given you? Randy Frazee has this great quote I want to read to you. It says this: if I die with $5 billion in the bank, but do not know and have not been faithful to God, then I have failed. If I end up broke, but know God and have been faithful to His call on my life in the strength His Spirit provides, I have been truly successful. That's redefining things for us today. See, right now, here's the deal. The master is away, right? Jesus was telling this story, getting them ready, preparing them for the kingdom of heaven. And here we are today, His servants. The master's away right now. So you and I have responsibility with His resources. But soon He's going to return. And when He does, we, His servants, are going to be called to give an account of what we have done with the resources He has given us. We're going to be called to give an account with the natural talents, the strengths, the opportunities, the gospel, the spiritual gifts that we have given, been given. We're going to be called to give an account for how we have used them. So I guess the questions are this: will we be faithful servants? Or will we be wicked and lazy servants? Remember, simply maintaining is not faithfulness. Folks, it comes down to this: faithfulness is not a belief. Faithfulness is a lifestyle. One last quote, Francis Chan. Our greatest fear should not be a failure, but of succeeding at things in life that really don't matter. 90% of us in the room, that should be a tattoo you should get. It's already on you. Maybe you should just make it visible. Our greatest fear should not be a failure, but of succeeding at things in life that really don't matter.